CliffCentral.com.
All righty. Good morning, everybody. Here we are. Reliable and dependable, not like your ex.
Right. Ooh, burn.
It's a burn. That's right. We are here. We are dependable. Your ex is not dependable. Why am I getting a echo of myself somewhere in the background? You hearing that?
Are you hearing an echo?
Yeah. Are you hearing an echo? Are you hearing an echo? Are you hearing an echo?
Probably me.
All right, if you can just turn that down a little bit.
I'm going to go away.
Go just away.
I'm not going away for a whole holiday.
Okay.
Just for a little bit. And
okay. All right, Leanne's going to go away, but she'll rejoin us in a minute. Let me see if it's her. If she goes, then it stops, then we know. Ah, good morning, Sia. How are you?
It stopped a little?
It stopped completely.
Okay, yeah, I'm not hearing it a bit.
Yes. Karen says she's getting ready to go to Stillby. She needs a break desperately. Stillby. Ooh, buy a nice. All those buys.
Car.
All those buys on the southern coast. That's where, it's like, if you're Afrikaans and you don't go one of those places, you know, what are the different places? Because Strysby, Buffelsby, Stillby. If you don't go to one of those, you're not really Afrikaans if you don't go to those places for holiday.
Now, here's something that I guess I missed slightly with the president's announcements and whatnot. Even on the days that aren't public holidays, there is a time restriction to when you can go to the beach. So, Karen, just note, if you can still buy and you want to go to the beach, it's open at 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. and they close at 6 p.m.
Yeah, because they don't... I don't know how that's meant to make any difference, but you know, these...
I don't know either.
Yeah, these rules are so arbitrary. That's why I'm not going away this holiday, because I don't want to remember. It's too complicated. I don't know how to remember all these rules. I can't even remember what day of the week it is most of the time. So,
odd. So a friend and I were catching up over this weekend, and we went to a restaurant by the beach for dinner. And it was funny. People were being ushered off at a little after 6 p.m. And that's when I picked that up, going, why is everyone now rushing off the beach? And so it's funny because we were at this restaurant. There's a promenade here in Durban, and then it's the sea sand.
Right.
So I was thinking, okay, so we're allowed here. If we just step over a few meters,
correct,
then that's illegal.
Okay. It's madness. But, you know, I think we're kind of used to it now. Like, what's the worst that can happen is they'll say to you, I'm sorry, you can't be here now. And you're like, okay, sorry. And you just move on. You do something else. It's stupid. So stupid. Anyway, so I hope everybody had a good weekend. I had a little Christmas party here on Saturday, which was huge. And the house is still a mess, so... So I'm sorting all of that out.
That means it's a good party.
No, it was very good. I mean, everybody seems to have had a really good time, and it was nice and chilled, and there were happy Christmas vibes going on, and you know, everybody gave presents to everybody. We did that Secret Santa thing with some of the worst gifts you've ever seen. The gift that I think won, I mean, it's, you know, these things are up for debate. Some people say, oh, well, that's the worst gift, and other people say this one is. So one of the worst gifts, in my opinion, was this... Do you remember those things they used to make that you would put toilet rolls in? But they were like, it almost looked like an apron.
Like a doily?
So sort of.
Not the crocheted ones,
ones. No, so the girl, Nicole, who gave that to as her Secret Santa gift, she was trying to find one of those crocheted Barbies with the dress that goes over the toilet paper. But she couldn't find one of those, so she had to go with this, which is equally shit. It's like a kind of like an apron, because you hang it on the wall, and it's got like a little, like a face on it that's also been knitted, and then the dress of the knitted thing, that's what you put two toilet rolls in. It's the worst. I mean, it is so ugly. It is so ugly. Ugh.
It still gets me when I see people with, it's usually not people I know. I must be honest. I usually see it in videos or or if I'm like house hunting or looking at places online,
yeah,
where the toilet lid is covered in a
one of those,
and sometimes sometimes even the seat,
yes,
and sometimes the bathrooms are carpeted.
The seat is covered with something.
Yes, the seat.
Yes, sometimes the seats are covered.
So my gift was a toilet seat cover that was leopard print.
Oh, there we go.
Leopard print. So I.
Oh my god!
And you can zip it, unzips, and you put it on your loo seat, and then you can have a nice comfortable seat when you know it's not the hard plastic or wood. Or whatever else you have on your loo.
Oh,
isn't that delightful?
And then you only have to wash it once a week or so.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's just, and as you say, like a carpeted, carpeted lavatory has got to be one of the most dreadful things, because I know, I mean, I'm very conscientious, but sometimes when you pee, it misses. Now, if that's going to sit there and soak into your into your carpets, I mean, that's just... So
I'm
revolting.
Actually heaving.
Yeah. It's amazing. That's the kind of thing that makes me really, really unpleasant and uncomfortable.
Broken out into a sweat here, man.
Jesus. You know, you're telling me. So, yeah, that was the as far as gifts go, those are the winning ones. And there was also one guy got a box of Viagra, which is hilarious. Although that's not, that's not so shit, you know. I mean, that could be a lifesaver in some situations.
Yeah, exactly.
And then... what else was there? There was, the funniest one I thought was one guy found a commemorative plate of Prince Charles and Princess Diana when they got married. But it's that engagement. Let me just show you. Because now, so my brother ended up getting that and he's put it on his wall. Because he's going to eat breakfast off it every day, but he's put it on the wall. Look at this. It's the worst fucking thing you've ever seen. Hang on. Let me just see if I can pull this up here. There. Can you see that?
Yeah, I know the exact one.
Oh, it's so bad. It's so bad. And I mean, you know. Imagine,
but listen, with the crown, that stuff's come back into fashion, man.
Having your cereal on that. It's so bad. So anyway, those are some of the presents that were given out. But it was really fun. And we all carried on partying until late in the evening. And some people stayed over. Some people Ubered before the curfew. Some people Ubered after the curfew. It doesn't seem like anyone really cares. You know, you do what you want to do. It's amazing. So anyway, Elon Musk had a great weekend. He has rocketed up in his net worth to $167 billion after adding $9 billion in just one day. That is happy Christmas, Elon Musk. Sure.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, these things are so arbitrary, because when you get to anywhere north of you know, $1 or $2 billion, like from there on, it's just a numbers game. It's like, you know, if you've got $167 billion. That's the kind of money you could never spend in your life, no matter how much you bought or how much you wanted. You're never going to run out. Nothing, nothing in the world is good. So whether you're 50 billion or 100 billion or 10 billion, it's pretty much about the same. You can have anything you like.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that matters now at that point is where you are on the list.
On the list, yeah.
World.
Because then suddenly it's a contest. Yeah, I agree.
So the reason why... Sorry, Sia?
It can become an ego thing now, about the position.
Exactly. It is. I think it is to those guys in the top sort of 50 of that list. That becomes a very big ego competition.
Yeah, it just becomes a silly little game. So the reason why he jumped by $9 billion in a day is because Tesla is preparing to make its debut in the S&P 500 index.
Oh, wow.
So let's also remember that he's 49 years old. This year alone, he added $139 billion to his name. And that amount that he made exceeds the total net worth of anyone else on the planet. So even though those guys are sitting on that top 10 list, they're pretty stagnant compared to Elon Musk. He's the one doing all the moving and shaking.
Amazing. It's amazing.
And that is other than only... Jeff Bezos. So Jeff Bezos now tops the wealth index with 187.3 billion.
Extraordinary.
So to look at the list, I'm just opening up the list here.
Yeah.
So Jeff Bezos is at the top with 186.7, then Jeez. Elon Musk with 153.5. Then in third place, it's Bernard Arnault and family.
Yeah.
146. Bill Gates at 120. Mark Zuckerberg is in fifth place at 101. Larry Ellison in sixth. Warren Buffett in seventh. So that's sure. where we are at the moment.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. That is such.
What was that?
Sia, did you say something?
Who's Larry Ellison again?
He's the guy who started Oracle.
He's in software?
Yeah, Oracle.
Oh yes. I don't know what you do with that. I don't know how you even just wrap your head around that much.
You just play on the list.
Well, I mean, this is so interesting. Brains is saying, how does Elon Musk make money, though? You're telling me he sold $9 billion worth of Tesla cars. No, it's the value of the company. So it's all on paper. It's not money he has in the bank. You know, I guarantee you that neither he nor Jeff Bezos can go to the bank and write a check for $1 billion. They don't have liquid capital of $1 billion lying around. So what they're doing is they're estimating a value of the company, and then those guys have shares in those companies, Amazon and Tesla in this case, that are worth X amount of money. So it's money that is being traded around. But he's not going to, you know, Elon Musk's not going to sell all his Tesla shares in an instant and then expect to be paid out $100 billion. There's no one who has that money to pay him out. And according
to... He can't kidnap his favorite person in the world and... demand $139 billion.
Exactly. Although he has such terrible taste in women that he kidnapping any of his ex-girlfriends or current girlfriend or whoever else.
Oh, no.
Disastrous. I mean, what are you gonna keep them in a cage? Dudley says, Bitcoin is flying right now, and it is. It's $24,037. That's just extraordinary. I mean, I looked at, I've got a little bit of Bitcoin because, you know, we speak to Sean Saunders and we've been doing that all year. And I've been holding on to this for a long ass time. And it's been worth it. I can't say that I didn't lose patience at certain times, but man, it's looking good. So I'm very happy I've still got some Bitcoin. It's just incredible. You see that thing skyrocketing. And Duncan says, I'm so sorry to hear about this, Duncan. He says he's in London at the moment. There's no Christmas there because they're all in tier 4 restrictions. Can you imagine how depressing that is? Hadmin says, morning. Thanks for all the Christmas music. And please play Thank God It's Christmas from Queen. Okay, well, we may or may not get to that later on. We'll have to see. Lamar says, Jeff definitely has a billion liquid. Okay, well, maybe he does. Maybe he does.
I think those guys might have. So if you kidnap someone, you can demand a billion.
Tracy says, the rich list is like winter in Canada. I don't think you feel the difference between minus 15 and minus 30 so much. It's bloody cold. Same with the rich list. It's a shitload of money. Yeah, that's true. I think that's about right. There are lots of people with ideas around the most disgusting presents that you could receive. Tracy says, crocheted toilet seats. Oh, my God. Imagine the Klingons on that. That's so bad. Ugh. This weekend, every day at 6 p.m., the police were there chasing people off the beach in the Strand. Yeah, so it is happening, huh? Davo says, hello from a minus, from 6 degrees in wintry Liverpool at 4 a.m. Oh. So, yes, there's lots of interesting stuff happening. This is the week, though. I have to go and buy my last Christmas presents today and tomorrow, and then I have to wrap them. And wrapping Christmas presents is not my favorite thing. I'm not good at it. Leanne and Sia have both seen my wrapping. It's disgusting.
I hate it with a passion.
Yeah. I went to a shop the other day, though, and they wrapped the presents for you, which I was like, but this woman was so good at wrapping that it took her 20 minutes to wrap the gift.
Oh, that's a long time.
Yeah. She was so meticulous, like she was folding over the paper so you never saw any, you know, of the paper that's been cut so you don't see the underside. She folded it in beautifully on mm-hmm. the corners. I mean, it was a work of art. Don't get me wrong.
Okay.
Magnificently done. But Jesus, did she take a long time.
This is the random thing that excited me over the last few days. It's such a loserish thing to admit.
Go on.
I got wrapping paper, which on the underside has grids, dotted grids.
Clever.
So you know where to cut. I was like,
That's amazing.
No, that is amazing. So you can actually cut along the line so that you know that you have a square or rectangle or... That's the only saving grace I have when wrapping things.
I don't mind doing it at all, but I used to enjoy it more. Although, let's say I enjoy it less now because there are less presents. It used to be a whole thing. Like, it would take me a day, almost like covering your school books.
Yeah,
it would take
a day
or two.
Yeah.
There were so many presents to wrap that you would be like, eventually you'd get sick of it. But now, wrapping one or two, I'm just like, ugh, let the shop do it. Otherwise, buy extra tape and extra rolls.
Well,
that I don't need.
I think I haven't even checked, but I think I've still got huge numbers of rolls and massive amounts of Christmas wrapping paper lying around. I've just got to go and check. And if I do, then luckily I don't have to go out and buy any of that. But I know I've got somewhere stuck in a cupboard. There's a whole lot of wrapping paper, so I don't think I need to buy any more. But there's always that left.
So here's a Christmas pattern. You'll look for them. You won't find them.
Yeah.
You'll get annoyed that you can't find them.
Right.
You get over it. You go and buy more. You wrap them. And then a few days after Christmas, you find it again. You find the old
one. In Easter, you find all of your Christmas
paper.
That's
right.
It just always happens like that.
Or you think, I'm sure I've got a square or two big enough. And you leave it until the last day and you find them. They're crinkled and faded.
Oh, no. I better go and check straight after the show this morning.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's get stuck into some important things. I had quite a lot to drink on Saturday night with this Christmas party, so I woke up yesterday with a major hangover, and I was not pleased about it. And it made yesterday a bit of a waste of a day. But, you know, there was leftover food, and there was stuff to be done, so I didn't completely waste the day. But I suddenly thought about, you know, how I'm probably a kind of champion binge drinker. I know I can drink a lot of tequila and I can do, I'm still tequila fit. You know, I mean, like, you try and take me on and you're going to come off second best. I know what I'm doing. I'm a real professional when it comes to that. But I, as I've said a million times, I don't drink on my own and I don't drink during the week and all of that stuff. So I'm able to forget about it. And then when I'm around people who are drinking, it can do its thing. But the funny thing is, that Leanne was telling me that there's this guy who died in a drinking competition. Now, that's something I've never taken part. I've never taken part in a drinking competition. I did once witness a drinking competition between the now deceased producer of Idols, who was an incredible Viking, a monster of a man called Carl Olin, and Darren Scott. The two of them met like at a bar, and you could even hear the music as they saw each other across the bar. And Randall Abrahams and I set them up in a drinking competition, and we had prizes and everything else. And the two of them went at it, and I've never seen people put back alcohol like those two did. Sweet Jesus. I think Carl still drove us home afterwards because he was such a... What a strong man. My God. He could drink his body weight. I promise you. He could drink his body weight in whiskey, and he was strong. I mean, he's not alive anymore, so obviously not that strong. But he won in the end. he won. But that's the only time I've ever watched a drinking competition. And in Malawi, there was a bar owner who took part in a drinking competition, and he died.
I mean, you'd expect the bar owner to know his own limits.
Sure.
Surely.
Maybe not.
But he didn't. He was only 28 years old. So, I mean, he still could have had many competitions ahead of him.
Well, there's some grisly 50-year-olds who took him on and they fucked him up.
The guy's name is Brave Bunda.
There we go.
Oh, brave.
And he challenged customers on Thursday that he could drink in succession. How many bottles of gin containing 43% of alcohol do you think?
Oh,
bottles.
You could have
in
one.
In succession.
No, you could have one or two
before
bottles.
Dying.
You'd be dead after one. You'd be dead after two. Are you drinking just neat gin? Oh, no, you'd probably be dead after
say
one.
Say seven?
No, see, are you mad?
I don't know. Let's see.
No, you're insane. One. I'm going to go with maybe one to two bottles. That'll be enough to kill most people.
Okay. Well, it took 10 to kill him.
Jesus.
This? No.
Jesus Christ. I need 10.
And the interesting thing is, it wasn't the alcohol directly. It wasn't like alcohol poisoning or anything that killed him. So when you drink alcohol, it's got such a high sugar content that it puts you on this enormous high and then drops, and your blood sugar level drops dangerously. So it was hypoglycemia, low blood sugar, that actually killed him.
Oof.
I think that's that you've got to be like, first of all, gin tastes horrible on its own.
Oh my gosh, drinking neat gin.
The reason people drink gin and tonic is because it's palatable compared to straight gin. I mean, really, it's just an awful, awful drink on its own, even if it's good gin. And you knock off a bottle of that and you're telling me you're not satiated. You have to go to 10. No, no, no. It's good that he's dead. He's been very poor decisions, this man. Very
well,
poor
he was brave, just like his name.
Oh, poor man. Rest in peace, brave.
Also had a lot of issues.
I
don't know why that seems like a good idea to anyone to go, let's see how much we can drink and let's just drink neat gin. You're asking for trouble.
Is our country, says Lamar, is our country the only one in Southern Africa where we have normal names like John and Sipho and things like that? Well, no. I mean, Malawi, Zimbabwe, and Mozambique are particularly well known.
And Nigeria.
I'm saying in Southern Africa. Those are the three that come up with really creative names and names that have to do with things that we wouldn't normally use for names. I've heard some beautiful names. I mean, there was one called Mistake. And I was like, what kind of a parent calls their child Mistake? You know? There's one called Professor. Gord told us about this because I think it was Gord. The person used to work at the university and all the smart people were called Professor. So the mom decided that she would call her son Professor so that he would be treated with respect, which is cute. You know, so there are lots of different reasons for people doing that. But I do agree it's pretty entertaining. It really is. Tracy says, the problem with most of the booze manufactured in Africa is it's laden with flavorants and sugar to imitate the real thing. A friend of mine who works in the industry told me this. The vodka has no trace of potatoes. The gin has no juniper berries in it. The raw ingredients could probably start a nuclear war. Yeah, that's possible. Mr. Schmangel says, I remember some years ago in Atlantis in the Western Cape, a guy broke into the bottle store and he finished a bottle of Bell's whiskey. He was found dead the next day in the hard liquor aisle. Sure. A bottle of whiskey. Yeah, that's hectic. Dr. Robin says, my best ever Zim name is God Knows. One word, God Knows. I once had a waiter from Zim who served me called Lancelot. Very fancy, said Venetia. Yeah, there's some good ones. Some very good names there. All right, do you want to get into some headlines? Let's see what's going on in the world. Okay, first thing
for a Monday morning. Thanks.
Yeah, first thing for a Monday morning. Pravin Gordhan has accused Busisiwe Mqhwebane of unlawful investigations. There's still some kind of shit going on between Pravin on one hand and Busisiwe Mqhwebane, the EFF, and a whole lot of others on the other side. And you know, there's still people who think that that one side is good and the other side is bad. The reality is that they're both awful. Awful people. I mean, Busisiwe Mqhwebane is useless as a public protector, and Pravin Gordhan is just he's a disgrace. He really is. I don't know how everybody thinks he's such a great guy. He is the public enterprises minister at the moment. His lawyers have accused the public protector of conducting unlawful, unfair investigations. Today, the High Court in Pretoria overturned Busisiwe Mkhwebane's report into the approval of an early retirement of former SARS Deputy Commissioner Ivan Pillay, which was a non-story. You know, I mean, we've spoken to the guys about the SARS Rogue Unit, about particularly the retirement of Ivan Pillay, and it's a non-story. But Busisiwe Mkhwebane, who's clearly not very bright, is on about this in a big way. The minister challenged the report, which also recommended Cyril Ramaphosa take disciplinary action against him. Gordhan's lawyer, Teboho Malatsi, said that the court found that the minister's decision was lawful. They found nothing in the report establishes that the minister had contravened any basic values. But this is, we know what this is. It's a political fight. It's actually got nothing to do with Ivan Pillay or anything else. That's the first thing you need to know this morning. Second thing is that Sihle Zikalala, who's the premier where Sia is right now in KwaZulu-Natal, he has slammed a mass protest which resulted in 48 new infections. So you know how this story goes, right? He's warned everybody, COVID-19 outbreaks, the death of 6 nuns at a convent at the Ugu district, and 48 infections resulting in a protest attended by 2,000 people at Kwasiza Bantu. Zikalala briefed the media on their festive season plans for KZN. The province has recorded a number of healthcare clusters, church gatherings, retail shops, funerals, ceremonies, and parties. The recent cluster outbreaks in gatherings have proven to be fatal. The nuns in the Ugu district. And who knew that there were that many nuns? That, you know, 6 of them could be taken out by COVID. Sure. Who knew? The Premier's office later clarified that the gathering the Premier had referred to in his speech was a protest action which took place in Kwasiza Bantu. And that resulted in 48 people testing positive so far, with the Premier saying that it was hardly surprising. So, yeah, he's putting himself up front as being one of the major fighters against COVID. You know, that's it gets you virtue points in politics at the moment. The SABC, you want to hear about them?
Oh, boy.
Well, the Joburg High Court has set aside a contract awarded by the SABC worth over 7 million rand for the refurbishment of lifts and escalators at one of the broadcaster's offices. The court has also ordered the contractor has to pay back the profits gained through the contract. The SABC requested the review, which was awarded in 2015 during the tenure of Chief Operations Officer Claudie Motswaneng, which had been earmarked for investigation by the Special Investigating Unit. So it turns out that the contract was unlawful and invalid. It was awarded by the SABC to Mott MacDonald Africa for the replacement and refurbishing of 36 lifts and 6 escalators at the Radio Park and TV Block buildings. You remember those lifts, Leanne?
Yeah, I was just going to say, firstly, that was 2015. I think we left in 2014.
Yeah.
And
we were not involved in this dodgy contract, is what you're saying.
Yes. No.
But the contract aside, the lifts, I can verify, definitely needed upgrading, number one.
Right.
How do I know that? Because I had many incidents, lift incidents, which were very scary.
Oh, yes.
One being because, in those days, we used to have our news printed on paper and we'd physically deliver it to the newsroom.
Yeah.
I mean, to the studio, or take it to the studio. And I came from the newsroom with my pieces of paper just before the bulletin, reading them. The lift doors opened and I didn't look. I carried on walking and just ended up falling over. Couldn't understand why. And that's because the lift had stopped too low down.
Oh my God.
So the floor was at my shins, at my knees.
Jesus.
There was that. And then another time in the TV side, I got stuck on a weekend when it was dead quiet for a good half an hour. When the lift doors finally opened, the floor was, how do I explain it? If I had to sit on the floor of the lift, my legs would dangle down into the openness behind me. It would be, the lift was stuck halfway between floors.
So I'm always nervous because if that happens and you try to get out, what if it suddenly moves and it cuts you in half?
I didn't think about that. But now,
there's that. But also, imagine sitting on the floor of the lift, but now it's halfway up, and you want to jump forward into someone's arms. The security guard's there, and I must just jump into his arms. But you've got there's no wall underneath for you to propel yourself off of. It's just fresh air. Yeah. Oh, it was one of the scariest moments of my life. So yes, the lifts needed upgrading, and then I can say with from experience as well that a lift that services three floors, say, costs R1 million. So can you imagine how many lifts did they service there?
It's 60 or something. Yeah, it's a lot.
Okay. It's a lot, yeah. So, okay, then and then a dodgy contract, which screwed everything up. So they needed the work, but they went about it the wrong way.
Well, clearly they did it the wrong way because apparently it was not handed, the tender was not dealt with properly, and Claudia Motsweneng had something to do with it as well. But you know what? I remember those lifts for a different reason. You'd get into them, and there was this very, they'd recorded it with someone. You're in a broadcasting building, and they'd recorded the voice of the person who speaks through the speaker in the lift for people who are perhaps, you know, blind or, you know, they have partial sight or whatever, and that tells you which floor you're going to, so you know. And you would have to choose your floor before you got into the lift. It was one of those.
Yeah.
And you'd get into the lift, and it would say, floor 9.
Floor 3. Floor 4. Floor 7.
It was so horrible. Oh,
lift
my God.
Closing.
Floor 8.
And
she sounded like she was a bit slow, like she was a slow adult.
Yeah, I mean, in a building full of voiceover artists.
Floor 21.
And the thing is, the radio park was, I don't know, 30-something stories tall. So if you were on your way to the 28th, you'd have floor 11, lift closing, lift opening, floor 12, all the way up.
God, it was terrible. Anyway, I used to get into that lift and I'd be in a temper by the time I got to the offices with management. So they could just, this is also why I hated management, because of the arduous path that we had to take to get to them. They were on the 8th floor, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Every time I had to go, oh, this fucking 8th floor. And I'd press the button and floor 8. And then I'd get out of the lift and walk through. And then stupid management would be sitting at their dumb desks, twiddling their thumbs and sharpening pencils and fucking around. And
they'd make you wait as well.
Oh, please. Please don't waste my time with those people. I didn't even know half of their names on that floor. I'd walk in and go, hi. They'd go, hi, how are you? I'd go, yeah, I'm all right. But what do you do here? And I'd never got a straight answer out of anyone. Never knew what anyone did there. Very odd.
Oh, no.
Anyway, so that's the SABC and a little walk down memory lane or lift shaft, as Leanne calls it. And then we've got some other stories. That this one's out of Nigeria. Do you want to know what it's about? Can you guess?
About a scam?
No, no, you racist. What else? Try a different one.
Listen, I've been watching so much Dr. Phil, and so much of it is these American retirees who get pulled into these Nigerian scams.
Shame.
Well, Dodo, also don't marry someone you've never met from the other side of the world.
Yeah, exactly. Bloody hell. No, this is about jihadists in the north of Nigeria. It's like a story we do.
Oh, that's much better.
Yeah, I mean, every week we do a story like this, and it just doesn't seem to be getting any better. A military convoy was hit in northeast Borno state, and the militants also attacked a transport convoy in the same region a day before, abducting 35 people and killing one woman. So it just continues to be an absolute nightmare in northern Nigeria, as far as Boko Haram and these jihadists are concerned. And then the BBC says that the US has had a cyber attack. Around 50 firms were genuinely impacted by a massive breach. This has got to be one of the biggest concerns for businesses, particularly online businesses, that if you get hacked, you know, your users' information will get stolen, and then that gets used by Nigerian scammers or Russian hackers or whoever else it is. Kevin Mandia, who's the CEO of FireEye, said that while some 18,000 organizations had the malicious code in their networks, it was only 50 who suffered major breaches. The U.S. Treasury and Departments of Homeland and Security, State and Defense are known to have been targeted as well. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has blamed Russia for the attack. So that's going on. Russia's still at the center of all the cyber warfare that we're likely to only see escalate in the next while. It's not going anywhere. Halala Freestadt, halala Gauteng, halala Western Cape. Do you remember Claudie's greeting?
I wonder if that was his whole thing.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to his political party, I wonder.
Oh, what an asshole. What an asshole. Didn't I predict that one day, I'm sure I said this somewhere, you'll find a recording of it. I guarantee it's out there. I said, I am pretty sure that no matter how much Claudie Motsoeneng paid himself while he was at the SABC, he will end up in a shack and he will end up dirt poor. And I promise you, I can't be far off. I bet you he's nowhere.
You reckon?
Yeah, I bet you he's nowhere now. He's got to have just totally floundered. That guy was not, he was a perfect example of someone who was too stupid to have got as far as he did. Just way too stupid. So I would love to know if anybody knows where Claudie is, because my money's still on him ending up in a shack in absolute poverty. That's what's going to happen to him.
Where he is and what he's doing.
Yeah. Sia's got a few things that he didn't know about that have just come to light to him now. And one of them is that there is a designated survivor, which is a real thing.
Yeah, did you guys know this?
Yeah, there's a TV series around this, Asia. Kiefer Sutherland was in it as the president. And Designated Survivor, that's the name of the TV series. You didn't know about this?
Yeah. I'm on season one now.
I just discovered it this weekend, even the TV series as well. And now that I know the concept of what a Designated Survivor is, yeah, I'm actually interested in watching the series. But the fact that there is always a person, largely for the State of the Union address in the US, and then for other major events where you have a lot of heavyweight political people all in one room, there always needs to be a designated survivor, a person who, in the worst incident, you know, if the president were to be killed and the vice president were to be killed and whatnot, this person would assume the presidency. Now, I'm thinking, should it be someone with like proper clout? Look, it's the worst case scenario and it's rare if it would happen.
It's one member of Congress. It's one member of Congress who's sent away to an undisclosed location so that if they take out the Capitol, for example, and everybody's there at that stage, all the members of the executive, the judiciary, and the legislature, they're all in there. So there's got to be one person who, if it all falls apart, can take on the role of executive, and then they'll obviously figure out along the way who can be, you know, a representative for the judiciary and the legislature. Because at the State of the Union speech, that is an occasion at which even the Supreme Court justices go. So everybody's there that you need in order for the government to function. And if they all get taken out, it's pretty devastating, you can imagine. So at least there's one person to survive.
Yeah, I was looking at one of the designated survivors who worked under the Clinton administration, and he headed up agriculture and something. So a random sector. And then thinking, this could have been the president? Like, it was, you know, from agriculture to presidency. Sure. That would be quite a promotion, let me tell you.
That's like Claudie Motsoeneng being put in charge of the SABC. It was just totally unbelievable.
And then there was another woman as well who was elected as the designated survivor just after 9/11 happened. So she actually formulated a speech as a president. She thought, okay, this is it. There's going to be another attack again.
Oh, wow.
And I'm now ready. From this bunker somewhere in the mountains, they said. She was trapped there for the duration of the State of the Union address. And then she thought, okay, yeah, this is it. I'm going to become the president. Sure. And now we don't know where she is. But I thought it was a rather fascinating thing.
Yeah, I also had no idea until I started watching the series. And then I thought, is it a real thing? And, you know, I love researching this type of stuff. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the series is quite accurate because the one of the actors, and I can't remember his name now, but he's a comedian and actor. And Ken He also served in the
Harold
White House.
Mark. Yeah.
He used to serve in the White House. So he performs an advisory role to the production. So you know that a lot of the stuff is real. So it's extremely interesting.
I'm interested in where they send them, what that place is that they send them to. That's what I'm interested
in. So that's actually what I was going to add. It's funny to me and slightly alarming that all of these things are meant to be very, you know, in secret.
Yeah.
But I watched several YouTube videos over the weekend about this, and so many of them were highlighting the different bunkers and areas where people would be sent to. Like, there was actually a camera crew going, yeah, well, the floors are 5 feet thick, and it's in this mountain, and this is what it has, and the doors are this thick. I'm thinking, why are you sharing all of this information?
Yeah,
they're going to have to come up with new hiding places all the time.
Yeah.
They probably do have ones that they don't tell us about, though. I mean, you know, there are certain facilities that you can look up, and there are others that you can find no information on. So they've done a pretty good job of scrubbing the internet of that information. And there's probably probably someone whose job it is every day to just go online and check if there's anything about this, and then to have it destroyed. You know,
but it really is quite a twisted situation to be in. Like, if you're selected for this position, it's a bit of a compliment. Like, oh, you'd think I would be fit to be president. And then I think I'd gather at the back of your mind, you kind of get power hungry. Like, okay, yeah. Actually, I wish something happens. And then I'm selected. But then you also think, damn, I don't want people to die. And I don't, you know, it's weird.
Yeah. Look, I mean, it's one of those jobs that you don't want to have. It's like, you know, the best man at every wedding. Your job is actually... if something happens to the husband, you're meant to take on the responsibility of that wife.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're there for, as a best man. Now, nobody thinks about that. They're like, oh, it's such an honor that I was chosen as a best man. It's like, what if I end up with you?
Yeah. If you don't like your friend or brother's new wife, don't be the best man.
Yeah, you should refuse.
Turn the offer down.
You should. Absolutely. You should actually do that.
Yeah. Anyway, then, yeah, I clearly was very late to this party in finding this out.
It's weird that just this weekend I found out too, Sia, so you're not late.
I use this iPad, which is, it's old now and it's starting to act up, and I use it to kind of see what's going on and you know, where the show's heading, and go through all of our information, and it deletes emails itself. So I've deleted the running order that Sia sent for this morning's show. So you're just going to resend that to me. It just deletes it all on its own. Cool. It does it without my say-so. Very strange.
What a liberty.
What a cheek. This fucking iPad. It's so old, though. It really is. I've had it since we started Cliff Central. And I hardly use it.
Good old faithful.
I know, but it's come in to be quite handy during the course of the show that we've been doing from home because, you know, in the studio, we've got all these screens around us and you can have all the different stuff going on the different screens. But here I've got just my one laptop. So this iPad's come up and made itself finally something useful. And it wasn't for, 5-6 years? Did nothing. I would use it as a backup. But now it's actually being put to use. So yeah, lots of exciting things to talk about this morning. Plenty I'd like to hear from you on. And you can get hold of us on 079-748-2090. Let us know what's happening in the world. Let us know what's going on for Christmas this week, when you've got all your stuff together and you're ready to go. Oh, did I eat this weekend? Besides just drinking on Saturday night, I ate and ate and ate like a big fat pig.
Are you pregnant with a food baby now?
I was, you know, yesterday. I mean, because Saturday night I didn't actually eat that much, but yesterday I ate leftovers the whole day long, just picking at the leftovers. There was so much nice stuff left, and I just thought, this is good. In fact, there was so much left, I had to take some to my brother and sister-in-law. I had to take some to my parents. I felt like the Santa Claus of food. yesterday, just delivering food everywhere.
One day I'm going to write an academic paper on why and how some food just tastes better cold and left over.
Yeah. No, it's very true.
It is so true, though.
It's also, it's got a lot to do with the temperature has a lot to do with the fats and all of that sort of thing. But my Christmas is actually, as of yesterday morning, been cancelled.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
So the family member who we had organized to host this year's Christmas.
Oh, no.
No. Found out yesterday that she has COVID.
Yeah, this happened to someone who... Oh, God. Okay, so you're going to have to cancel it and move it somewhere else.
Yeah, also with less family members as well, because a lot of the family members have been exposed to her.
Oh, shit.
So what was going to be a Christmas feast of, 15 people.
Oh, no.
Will now just be six of us.
Well, this happened to two of my friends who were meant to come to the party on Saturday. One of them wasn't sure, but they'd woken up with a bit of a headache and a throat and all the rest of it. So they went and had a COVID test and they came up negative, but they decided not to risk it anyway. And the other one, we're going to them for Christmas Day. So I hope they're sorted out by then. But he did turn out to have COVID, but he says he's already like 6 days into his 7 days. So he might be okay by the time we get to Christmas. I don't know, but I mean, I think this is happening everywhere.
Talk about a party. Party pooper disease, oh, COVID.
Really, it spoils everything.
Destroying
right?
parties.
It really does. It spoils everybody's fun. Outrageous. Yeah. What we're going to do later on is check in with Gadget Girl. You know, Claire, she's been on the show a number of times, and she's going to give us some insights into what she thinks might happen next year and what might be going on online next year, what kinds of gadgets we can look forward to next year. Internet capacities going up in certain ways and shapes and forms. She's going to be the one to talk to us about all the internet usage for 2020, because I'm sure that's through the roof. And you know that Friday, I mean, I was trying to do the show through my phone. So it wasn't the best quality sound that you might have been expecting from the show. But we're back on. My internet was reconnected. I saw like an hour and a half after we finished the show on Friday, it all came back online. So
if it was prompt.
Yeah, but I mean, at least they fixed it, you know, because there's nothing worse than being without internet these days. It feels like you've been marooned on an island.
Right.
And even if you have 3G, it's a whole lot more expensive to use your phone for these things than if you're paying for home internet. So I think a lot of us, when we're disconnected from the internet, we actually feel disconnected from life. And that's probably not a good thing, but it is what it is. And we've got to do something about it, right? So this is how we live now. If you don't have internet, you feel like you're miles away from everybody. It's crazy. Also, I see that it's not just our Christmas plans that are being cancelled left, right, and centre. You know that the Queen and Prince Philip are going to spend Christmas at Windsor, which they haven't done for years. They usually go to Sandringham with the rest of the family for Christmas, but it's just the old people stuck in Windsor Castle, and they'll all be doing their Christmas stuff. I think it's just her and Philip and some servants.
Oh, shame.
Shame. Imagine being stuck in a castle over Christmas.
Yeah, imagine with just your servants. Who?
Just your servants.
Take care of everything.
Damn, Christmas is going to be bad this year.
It's so awful for the poor queen. She's really going to hate it. Oh, you know, Philip, it's just you and I. Just you and I and the servants.
Again, I saw pictures of her riding on a horse a couple of days ago.
Oh,
and she's... still, I think, how she manages to do it. Philip is 99.
He's 99, yeah. He's not. he isn't riding any horses, don't you worry.
No. He's not allowed to operate anything that moves.
Oh, no, because he'll crash and cause huge chaos. I mean, that's what Philip does now.
Not that he's really bothered, I think.
Oh, no, and then not apologize.
No, didn't he? He refused to say sorry, didn't he? Or something like that. He said they were making a big fuss out of nothing.
Oh,
I love him. He's so great. I think Prince Philip's the best human being on the planet. Oh, I love him. I think he's the greatest.
Yeah, he's certainly entertaining.
Yeah, you know, I find him really marvelous. I think he's just the best example of a human. He doesn't give a shit about anything. My spirit animal. You know,
And then on the flip side of the royal family, people are annoyed at Harry and Meghan again.
Yeah, well, they should be. Those two are such what a bunch
you
of
You don't
turds.
Even know what I'm about to say.
Please, I hate them. I hate them. What have they done now?
So,
douchebags.
They are... Now there's like this campaign to get Harry stripped of, you know, just the tiny bit of royalty that he still had remaining. They're
good.
Like, actually, you know what? Yeah. They aren't deserving of this title. Yes. They aren't deserving of these perks.
Yes, good.
They've just signed a deal with Spotify to get into podcasting.
Oh, God. Hello, I'm Prince Harry and this is my wife, Meghan, and this is our podcast.
Yeah, hi. I'm the Duchess of Sussex.
Actually, and it was a vague statement, but I don't think it will actually be largely them. So they'll be profiling different people or charities or something along those lines. And they are not taking salary from this deal. Oh, so sure. They have said that they'll be taking this money and donating it to various organizations. So now people are just like, wow, virtue signaling. And they think they're just so woke. And it's...
I have no interest in Harry and Meghan. See, they're all yours. Do what you will with them.
You do know they're neighbors with Oprah now, right?
Of course they're neighbors with Oprah now.
If I get onto that street, I think just the idea of being on that street makes me horny. Oprah's house on one side, Harry and Meghan on the other.
Sia, it's so weird what makes you happy. Oh, and horny. Oprah and Harry and Meghan, what a thing to be turned on by. How gross.
Wouldn't be able to do it. I wouldn't be able to stand it. Meghan has now invested in this coffee company or something. It's coffee or tea. And she sent it over to Oprah's house. Oprah posted about it the other day.
Please. Give me while I throw up those people.
Anyway, that's the dose of royal news that I'm interested in.
They're not royal anymore. Can't include them in royal news. They're not. They're trash. They're middle-class white American trash now. And in Meghan's case,
mixed
race.
So you won't be subscribing to the podcast, I get.
No, I just don't. I'm not interested in those two. Ginger and Princessy. No, thank you. All right, so... there are some other things. Brad wants, he sent us this long email, but I'm going to give you the gist of it. Oh, God, It's 7 o'clock. We better hurry up. He says, the many issues with globalization have become discussed frequently on the show, but one issue that no one ever talks about is that globalization inevitably enables forms of censorship. Big business inevitably follows the flow of money and will do more or less whatever they need to keep shareholders happy. Therefore, any company who wants to do business with China or promising customer base... or any promising customer base, that is, essentially is forced to adopting their ideology in order to continue the business in that region. The result is that Chinese propaganda is essentially being soft exported by businesses who can't risk to upset China. Any criticism of them on any meaningful public scale is therefore controlled by the capitalist model. Let me know if you agree. I do agree, Brad. I think that's a really good point. But we're out of time now, so I can't discuss it any further.
That's as far as it's going to go.
Yeah. So that's
like
all we
care, but we got
to
go.
We care, but I have to go. I'm sorry, Brad. It's over. So that's the best I can do for now. All right. Very, very
okay,
nice.
Okay, bye.
All right. When we come back. No. When we come back, we will speak to the Gadget Girl, and we've got lots of other cool stuff for you. It's a Monday morning on cliffcentral.com. It's already the 21st of December. Here's a little Nat King Cole for you. The original and the great.
Cliffcentral.com.